It'll be brought to us by a deacon serving here in the Redlands Church, Mr. Stephen Richardson.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the Sabbath day, especially before the feast. Before we left for the feast, our neighbors, I actually had a long conversation with our neighbors. Our youngest son plays with their kids. And they said that they were praying that I would come over and talk to them about our beliefs, our religious beliefs. I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. And they're good neighbors. We really get along well. I was just really surprised to hear them say that. And we talked a lot about the Sabbath. That was a big issue. And then also, you know, some of the modern-day beliefs that aren't necessarily biblical. And, you know, I wasn't pushy at all, but I was trying to be diplomatic and, you know, try to teach. And actually, after the feast, on the way home, I kind of felt a little down on the way home, like, oh, you know, the feast is over. It's going to be a long wait before the next festival. And then I thought, well, that's actually not true. There's a festival every week, and that is the Sabbath day. So this message is going to be a review of some of the basics of the Sabbath day, and we're going to find out that the Sabbath is very, very important in the eyes of God. And so I'm going to go ahead and go over a lot of scripture. We're going to do a lot of reading, and then what we're going to try to do is point out the things that are really important to God. Why is the Sabbath so important to God the Father and Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead and the title of this message is actually The Sabbath, Important to God for All Time. So let's go ahead and take a look at where the Sabbath begins. There is a beginning of the Sabbath, right? The Sabbath is something that was created. So let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So Genesis chapter 2, starting here in verses 1 through 3. Actually, it looks like we'll start reading, here in verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made." So this is the beginning of the Sabbath. Of course, it also shows that the Sabbath was created. And, you know, the words here translated, the word translated here, blessed, literally means to bless. It also has the meaning of to kneel, actually, which is interesting. And then the word sanctified, this means to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate. So this day was set apart. This day was made holy, and it was made holy by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So, simply stated, the Sabbath is important to God because he blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. Not only did God create the Sabbath, but he made it holy. And only God can make a day holy. So he rested on this day, but he sanctified it. So the physical creation is an important part of the plan of God. You know, creation belongs to God. And so, therefore, so does the Sabbath. So the physical creation actually marks the beginning of God the Father and Jesus Christ and their plan to make a physical or spiritual family. So the first seventh day and every weekly anniversary of that day is special to God. And I think after we go through this message, we'll have a really good idea how important the Sabbath is to God. But actually, I don't think we can fully grasp how meaningful the Sabbath day is to God and Christ. But he is teaching us. He is teaching us through his law and through scripture. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at some of that scripture. We're actually going to read a lot of scripture here concerning the Sabbath right now in the Old Testament. So we're going to go ahead and read through all the scriptures, and then after that we're going to point out some of the things that I think give us reason why God thinks these days are, or why this Sabbath day is important. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Now, all of these scriptures that we're going to go to are good scriptures to teach somebody why we believe this day is so important. And, of course, right now we're trying to point out why God thinks these days are so important. So Exodus 20, chapters, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. So here we have a command to keep the Sabbath. So I guess we could say that the Sabbath is important to God because he commanded us to keep it. There's more that we can glean out of this. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. Exodus 30, chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. Now, this bit of scripture tells us a little bit more about the meaning of the Sabbath. So here in verse 12, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So I think it's interesting what it says here in this bit of scripture we just read, that it's a perpetual covenant, and it's a sign between God and his people. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. This is where we're going to read about the festivals of God. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 3. You'll see in your Bible this has a heading, Feast of the Lord. Leviticus 23, chapter verses 1 through 3. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So now we have an introduction to a list of the feast of the Lord. And the first in the list is the Sabbath. 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So we've read through many accounts of the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. Based on what we just read, we could bring out some important concepts here, bring out some reasons why the Sabbath is important to God. One reason is this: the Sabbath belongs to God. The Sabbath belongs to God. The Sabbath, it's God's day, and he commands us to keep it. You know, let's just read some of the scripture in short that we just went through. I'm going to read through these. You don't have to turn back to them. But in Exodus 20, verse 10, it says, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." It's the Sabbath of the Lord. Exodus 31, 13, "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep." Leviticus 23, 2, "The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts." The Sabbath day belongs to God. The Sabbath day was created by him. It belongs to him. creation, all of creation belongs to God. We just read about that in Genesis 2. This would include the seventh day. The seventh day is a possession of God the Father. It's a creation of God. It is not the Sabbath of the Jews. It is not the Sabbath of any other people. It is the Sabbath of our Father and Jesus Christ. It is the day that they made together, and it belongs to them. And we know that the Sabbath is going to be shared with humanity. That much is obvious. But the fact remains, the Sabbath belongs to God. Here's another important aspect of the Sabbath and why it's important to God. The Sabbath is important to God because it is one of his feasts. Now, this is what I had in my mind on the way home from the Feast of Tabernacles. The Sabbath is important to God because it is one of his feasts. In Leviticus 23, God is teaching us how important the Sabbath day is by designating it as one of his festivals. He commanded to keep it in the law, but he also brought out more of the significance of the Sabbath by making it one of his festivals. It's one of his feast days. And it happens every week. What a blessing it is to be able to celebrate a festival every week. You know, we have a lot of build-up to the spring holy days, especially during the wintertime. We have a lot of sermons, a lot of teaching about the plan of redemption. And we're really excited about the days of unleavened bread and Passover. Of course, we're excited about all the other holy days, too. And there's always a great anticipation for those. Well, what about the Sabbath? You know, the Jews, when they count down the days of the week, they're basically numbered, and it's like a countdown. If you literally look at the meaning of the names, the Jewish names for the days of the week, they mean the first day, the second day, the third day, all the way down until we get to the Shabbat, which is the seventh day. So it's like a countdown for them. You know, a lot of wisdom comes from keeping the Sabbath for millennia. And so there's a certain level of understanding that the Jews have about the Sabbath. And it's not that much different than what we believe. All right, so let's go ahead and look at some of the meanings of the words here in Leviticus 23. Actually, down here in chapter 23 and verse 3, it says, 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. This is important. What does this mean to be a holy convocation? If you look up the word in the Hebrew lexicon, it says it means convocation or convoking. It means reading, actually. Now you might think about, what do we do in the Sabbath? We read the Word of God. It means a calling together, a sacred assembly. You know, as the Sabbath day is listed first in God's holy days, it is a sacred assembly. We are not necessarily to keep the Sabbath alone. We are to be together. We are to be together with people of like mind to keep the Sabbath day. You know, God the Father and Jesus Christ wanted us, his people, to keep this day together. So who is it that set aside the Sabbath day as such an important day? Who was it that sanctified this day? Who was it that rested on the seventh day during the creation? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. It was the Son of God that rested on the seventh day. We can read about this in John 1. We're not going to go there. But if you do a careful reading of John 1, you can see it is Jesus Christ who did the act of creation through the authority of God the Father. It was Jesus Christ who created the Sabbath and sanctified it. So here's another good reason why the Sabbath is important to God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, in the New Testament, Christ was consistently criticized by the Pharisees for what he did on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus was accused of working on the Sabbath when he healed people during the Sabbath. Now, we should understand something, and this is debated by a lot of people in mainstream Christianity. But some people say Christ came to get rid of the law, to get rid of the Sabbath day. But that's absolutely not true. I think we know this. And one reminder of this is what Christ said himself in Matthew 5:17. I'll go ahead and read that to you really quickly here. In Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 17, it says this: "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets." Now, this is the word of Jesus Christ. "I did not come to destroy it, but I came to fulfill it." Christ came to fulfill the law. Christ came to fulfill the Sabbath. Christ actually gave us a complete picture of keeping the Sabbath by what he did on the Sabbath. He was also countering the teachings of the Pharisees and creating teachable moments. And it's kind of interesting that Christ was showing us how to keep the Sabbath, but he was also kind of bringing out some of the issues of Sabbath keeping at that time. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to read verses 23 through 28. Mark chapter 2. Verses 23 through 28. So this is an unteachable moment that Christ used to teach us how to keep the Sabbath. And this is a proclamation that Jesus Christ is making about the Sabbath. So in verse 23 it says, "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to him," this is Jesus Christ speaking, "'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him.' And then Christ said, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.'" And verse 28 says, "Therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." So the Sabbath is important to God because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He decides how we should keep the Sabbath. He decides what things are okay to do on the Sabbath. We see in Scripture that Christ healed people on the Sabbath. He cast out demons. He read Scripture, and he was always with others on the Sabbath, always teaching. I think we can get a pretty good summary of the ministry of Jesus Christ and what Christ actually did on the Sabbath in Luke chapter 4. I want to go ahead and go to Luke chapter 4 now to elaborate more on this point. We want to get a feel for what Christ was doing and how Christ actually kept the Sabbath day. So in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, this is Christ back in his hometown, Nazareth, making an important proclamation about who he really was and what he came to do. So in chapter 16 it says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" So here Christ is quoting from Isaiah, or reading from Isaiah. "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" There was some confusion here. You know, they knew who Christ was physically, the son of Joseph, and they didn't quite understand that he was the Son of God, what he was coming to do. But this is a proclamation by Jesus Christ of who he is and what he is going to do. And in fact, what he's going to do on the Sabbath. You know, it's interesting to note that Christ did all of these things listed here in this scripture that were quoted from Isaiah. He did all of these things on the Sabbath day. He healed, he taught, he cast out demons. He was bringing liberty to the people at that time. Of course, he was bringing liberty to all humanity and as a physical being on this planet. You know, God wants us to exercise good judgment on keeping the Sabbath. He gave us the basics of keeping the Sabbath. We just read about those in the Old Testament. And he expanded on the meaning of the Sabbath and what we can do on the Sabbath by Christ's example. Christ's example of healing and teaching on the Sabbath. Ultimately, God wants to keep us the Sabbath in a spirit-led way. He wants us to obey the fourth commandment because we see and understand the benefits of keeping the Sabbath on the seventh day. So this takes us to another reason why God thinks, or why God wants us to know the Sabbath is important to him. The Sabbath is important to God because he made it for us. He made it for us. The Sabbath is our weekly appointment to spend time with him and his people. So the Sabbath was made for our benefit. What a blessing the Sabbath day is. What a gift from God. And he made it for us. The Sabbath forces us to stop doing our routine and rest. The Sabbath makes time for us to pray, study God's word, and to spend time with our families, to spend time with our spiritual family. We are also to spend time with quality time with our families. And we had some time with our family last night. Kind of shared some of the information from my message with my kids. Did a little teaching. And that's important to do on the Sabbath day. And we do that together here as we meet for services. We are to assemble together with like-minded Christians. We are to learn from each other. And remember what Christ said in Leviticus. The seventh day is a Sabbath day of solemn rest. It's a holy convocation. It's a sacred assembly. You know, I'm so thankful for the Sabbath day. We just got through observing Thanksgiving. And one of the things in my mind, of course, was the Sabbath day and how thankful I am that that exists. There's so much peace that comes from observing the Sabbath. I love this time that God has set apart for us. God made the Sabbath so we can have a proper, loving relationship with him. The Sabbath was made for all human beings, not just the ancient Israelites. The Sabbath reminds us of the redemption made possible by Jesus, the Son of God. It's interesting to note, at this point, we can start to see what's going on here. It looks like the Sabbath is a summary of the entire plan of God. And a big part of the plan of God is redemption. And the Sabbath reminds us of that. And we get some hints on this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So this is another place where the Sabbath is a commanded observance in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go ahead and turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any other cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." You know, here in Deuteronomy, God's people are reminded that they were rescued from Egypt. They were saved from that bondage. They were released from that bondage. Now, we know, as we observe the spring holy days, that Egypt is symbolic of sin. And in modern times, we look at that as we are coming out of Egypt, figuratively, but literally we are coming out of sin. We are rescued from the bondage of sin because of Jesus Christ. There's a similar message to the spiritual Israel here in Hebrews 8. Let's go ahead and turn to chapter Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. This is a message of redemption, or describing redemption to God's modern Israel, or what we would call spiritual Israel, the church. So Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The Sabbath is important to God. It is because it's a reminder to us and the ancient people of Israel that he rescued them from Israel. He rescued us from sin. He is the one that saved us from the slavery of sin. He's the one that brought us out of sin. He's the one that rescued us from the penalty of sin. He is the one that redeemed us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Sabbath carries a strong message of redemption. So I'll repeat this again. It looks like the Sabbath holds in it the entire meaning of the plan of God. There is a millennial message here as well in keeping the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath is going to be kept in the millennium. There's scripture that talks about this. There's prophecy that talks about this. I think we'll at least look at one place in the Bible where we see the Sabbath being kept in the millennium. You know, the title of this message is, you know, the Sabbath, important to God for all time. So the millennium is no different. The people in the millennium will be keeping the Sabbath day. We're going to go ahead and turn to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. We're going to turn to Isaiah 56. We'll read verses 1 through 7. It says, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil." Now, this is talking about the Sabbath being kept in the millennium. If we look back to previous chapters here in Isaiah, in chapter 54 and 55, this is about the entire world having a relationship with God the Father. We know this happens in the millennium. Let's read here again in verse 3. It says, "Do not let the son of your foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and chooses what pleases me and hold fast my commandment. Even to them I will give my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." That can only happen when they become a part of God's family eternally. And there's many other places in the Bible that reference keeping the Sabbath in the millennium. Another one of those is in Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 20 through 24. I'm not going to go there, but we'll see similar scripture here. So I guess we'll save that one for homework. Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 20 through 24. In fact, there's many, many references to Sabbath keeping during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So it is argued a lot that the Sabbath has been done away with, or it doesn't really matter what day we should keep the Sabbath. Keeping it Sunday or during the week, it's not that important, according to some people. But we're going to find out if we read Hebrews chapter 4, there still remains for the people of God a Sabbath day. Even after Christ came and died for us, there still remains a Sabbath rest. And there's going to be a millennial significance to the scripture, actually. In fact, if you read all of Hebrews chapter 4, this is about keeping the Sabbath in the millennium. This is a complicated topic of connecting the Sabbath to the millennium or looking at the millennial significance of the Sabbath. But I think the scripture does a pretty good job, in short, in doing that. There's a lot of things to study about this topic, and I think I might maybe someday try to bring that to you in a sermon. You just have to do a lot of surveying of scripture and take a lot of bricks and build a wall and use a lot of deduction to put together the argument here. But Hebrews 4 does a pretty good job. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. You know, some of the things that are required here to look at the millennial significance of the Sabbath is to look at the 7,000-year plan that God has for humanity. And interestingly enough, the Jews have a pretty good understanding of the 7,000-year plan of God. The messianic part is where they don't quite have all the correct concepts put together. But anyway, let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. It says, "For if Joshua had given them a rest," and we know Joshua led the people of God to the promised land, "then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest and himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart." So in verse 9, the word that was translated here as rest actually has a lot of meaning behind it. One meaning is literally keeping the Sabbath. The rest is keeping the Sabbath. The word has in its meaning the Sabbath day. But there's a second meaning of this word. And this word, there's actually different words used here in Hebrews 4. But the second meaning of this word in verse 9 is the blessed rest from toils and troubles looked for in the age to come by the true worshipers of God and true Christians. The rest that's being referred to does refer to the Sabbath. If we read earlier in Hebrews 4, we can see that. But it also has a future meaning. You know, it's a rest from the toils and troubles looked forward by us. We look forward to that rest. And the Jews also had that belief as well. So the Sabbath is important to God because it holds in it the promise of a rest to come. When Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, there will be a 1,000-year rest from the reign of Satan the devil on this earth. The people of God will be resurrected or changed upon the return of Jesus Christ, and they will be there to serve God and to teach his children, to lead his children. And we will be doing the things that Christ did during his earthly ministry. We will be doing the things that Christ quoted from Isaiah: preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. We will recover sight to the blind. We will set at liberty those who are the oppressed. We will proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. These are all the things that Christ did during the Sabbath and during his ministry. And we will have an opportunity to do that during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But we have to continue in God's way of life. Stay close to him and keep his commandments. That's what it says here in Hebrews 4. If we do this, we will enter into a 1,000-year rest, and we will be about our Father's business, even on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath has a millennial significance to it. It holds in it the meaning of a future rest. So in conclusion, the Sabbath is very important to God the Father and Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is important to them because after Christ created it, he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. The Sabbath is important to God because it is one of his festivals. The Sabbath is one of God's feast days. The Sabbath belongs to God. He created it. It is not the Sabbath of the Jews or any other people. He created it, he made it, and he commanded us to keep it. The Sabbath is important to God because the Son of God is the Lord of the Sabbath. He decides what is right to do on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath is a gift from God, and it helps us to have a proper relationship with him. The Sabbath is important to God because it takes us back to the physical beginning of the plan of God. It reminds us that he is our creator. The Sabbath reminds us that God is our redeemer. He is the one that rescued us, rescued Israel from Egypt, and he is the one that rescued us from sin. The Sabbath reminds us the Redeemer is coming again to rule for a 1,000-year rest. I don't think we could fully understand the importance of the Sabbath day. I mentioned this early. God the Father and Jesus Christ hold this day so dear. I mean, it's so dear to them. It means so much to them. We should do our best to try to see it from God's point of view and to understand it from their point of view. But I don't think we're going to understand it until we have a better mind, a spiritual mind. So I'm just going to leave you with a question. You know, I gave you a lot of reasons why the Sabbath is important to God the Father and Jesus Christ. But when you're engaged in dialogue with somebody who's asking you about the Sabbath and why you keep it, and why it's important to you, probably the best thing to do is to bring out why it's important to God. So how important is the Sabbath day to you?